And just, he's so incredible. I tell you, this is going to be a challenging subject because it's having to deal with Yehovah in this subject. Anyway, so I'm going to do my best. I'm so glad he wrote about himself, because we wouldn't know how to even express, you know, who he is. I mean, what he's like. And so, I mean, he let us his word. And tonight we're going to look at his word. We're going to see some wonderful things about him that's going to tie in right here with this in Bereshit 42. But before we go there, you know, I was praying the other morning after the pastor had mentioned, you know, how to pray for our community. And, you know, so spending time with him just at set apart time. Let me tell a passage of scripture I want to read that we're going to start off. It's going to be our opening start, because instead of just going straight to the subject, he wants me to start here. And I said, I don't have a note on this. I said, so if you want me to speak this, you got to remind me. Don't let me forget this. So how you know when you ask, he won't let you forget, because it was there in my face every day. So in Isaiah 55, we're going to get started. Starting at verse 1, the title, of course, in our Bibles, it says, The Compassion of the Lord. He said, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no silver, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without silver and without price. I mean, you know that this, when we look back in what's going on in Mitzrayim right now, they think they have to start buying, bartering. So this passage of scripture really ministered to me a lot. It says, why do you weigh out silver for what is not bread, and your labor for what does not satisfy? I mean, you know, he's the only one that can satisfy us. There's nothing else out there, and we're going to see that here in just a moment. He says, listen to me. He makes sure he said it twice, so make sure we paying attention. And eat what is good. Let your being delight itself in fatness. Beautiful words right here. It says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear so that your being lives. Now our verse 2 in there, we're talking about life and death. And I really thought, you know, we were going to wrap it up. But how you know when you're dealing with Yehovah and life and death? That's big subjects. So, it's, you know, you want to move on, but you almost can't. Because he's talking about let your being live. How many know that's one thing we want our being to live? Now, this past week, I had a good friend, Big Tim. I don't know if you'll know any from Grandby. His dad died this morning. I got bad news from Grandby. So things happen. But, you know, the scripture says, though you die, yet shall you live. And this is what we want to seek. This is why we're here. We want him to give us that bread that satisfies us. Amen. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear so that your being lives. And let me make an everlasting covenant with you. The trustworthy, loving commitments of Dawid. Well, that's how we need that. An everlasting covenant. See, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. See, or in English, behold, which we covered a lot of that, a nation you do not know, you shall call. And a nation who does not know you, run to you because of Yehovah your Elohim and the set apart one of Israel, for he has adorned you. Now, look, I know this is a different time right here, different language. But that ministers so much, you know, because, look, when we didn't know ourselves, he knew us. He knew to call us. Yeah. He knew that we would be here tonight doing this. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to take it easy, and I'm doing my best to take it easy. For he has adorned you. Now, we're going to look at that for a second. But this is what really threw it off. So I don't have a note on this. But in the King James, the word is glorified right there. Now, we know adorning has to do with bedecking. But right here, the word is para. A primitive root to glean, that is causatively embellish, figuratively to boast, also to explain, that is make clear oneself, denominatively from 60, age 62, 88, to shake a tree. Beautify, boast self, go over the broads. Glorify self, glory, vaunt self. What kind of caught my attention, and we're going to have to look at, just bear with me, because a couple of things I need to look at. To glean. What is that, to glean? Well, let me give you the definition of that. To glean means shine brightly, especially with reflective light. What do you say? You'll be the light of the world. You'll be the salt of the... He wants you to shine. Because we're different. You're set apart. We're going to see that in the scripture. I'm moving really slow as possible. What about embellish? Embellish is to make something more attractive by the addition of decorative details or features. He not only wants you to shine, he wants you to look good. And we should look good. Because who are we representing tonight? Yep. Not just tonight, tomorrow. And then the next day and the day after, as the week goes on. So he wants to bring you out like them golden apples on that silver platter that we learned. Now let's scroll on down here for a minute. You can look at all the brown driver's brigs. But look at this ancient Hebrew. Tread, bull, and fruitful. The picture is the mouth, is the pay, is a picture of an open mouth, and the resh is the head, is the picture of a head. Combined, these mean open the head. He wants us to open out. He wants to open our head because our way of thinking is not matching his, and we're going to see that in the scripture. He wants to put something in us, and he wants you to learn. He wants to sit down and spend the time and open us up, because our thinking, sometimes we can be stinking thinking. And then what don't program in our brain right comes out of our mouth, and we're not representing him well. And he wants you to shine brightly. He wants to make you look good. But there's something wrong in our head. We need brain surgery. This is what he wants to do for us. He wants to open the head. Combine these means open the head. The heads of grains are scattered on the threshing floor, a smooth, hard, and level surface. An ox is led around the floor, crushing the head, opening them to reveal the seed inside. There's something inside our head, you know, that he wants to bring out, and he wants it to be clear as crystal. He wants things to, when we sit amongst brothers or sisters, or we sit amongst people that's outside our body, is what's going to come out from here. Hey, we need this, our head to be open to know how to act right, because we have flaws. We do. This is why we learn. This is why we go. This is why we say it all the time. This is why, to me, this is so important. Because let me tell you, I want to do like my master said. I don't want to every jot and every tittle. I don't want to miss. So. This little, when we go back to Genesis, we're going to see, we're going to point out some things here that, man, these, I got to dive into it, because I got to see all these definitions on what he's talking about. But he wants to open our head tonight and let him sprout up what he has in our life for daily living. For he has adorned you. So that word adorned right there, para, you know. But it does link to being bedecked. It doesn't say the word, but if you go down and you look at it and you see some of the definitions, it goes that way. You can definitely tie it in. So all these, let me tell you, when I look at all these words that I can build on, I go there and I check every one of them. I just want to see where it leads. And, you know, we can't cover all these tonight, because, oh boy. It says in verse 6, seek Yehovah while he is to be found. Why is he telling me that now? Because maybe that's coming a time that when he said the word in Amos, what did he say? He warned us. There'll be no word. There'll be a famine. So, and then right now in Genesis, we're dealing with a famine. It's bad. Seek him while he is to be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wrong forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Go figure. Let him return to Yehovah, who has compassion on him, and to our Elohim, for he pardons much. Now, we see some pardoning going on in the White House, and But you know what? When he pardons, he really pardons. But the unrighteous man, his thoughts. That's why we need our head open. Because sometimes a little unrighteousness, I don't know about you, it creeps in there. It's not because you're unrighteous, but unrighteous thoughts will come in your head. That's why he needs to open us up. Why? Because look right here in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways, neither are your ways, my ways, declares Jehovah. We need to have the mind of Yeshua. That's what he said. Let this mind be in you that was also in Messiah. See, that's why he wants to open our head. And he wants to, man, some of us he opens up, man, when he opens my eye, I'm scared of what he sees. But only he can fix it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither your ways, my ways, declares Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's repeating himself about these thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from the heavens, they do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, and I give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. How many know we know about snow? Because boy, did it. That was some serious snow. And it watered the ground. It literally did. So is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It does not return to me empty, but shall do what I please, and shall certainly accomplish what it was sent for, what I sent it for. And you know, his word is going to do what he said. You might not see it happen, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Or it might not happen when you want it to happen, but don't mean it's not in the making. How we say it all the time, how we say that? Even when I don't see it, you're working. So my word that goes forth from my mouth, it does not return to me empty, but shall do what I please, and shall certainly accomplish what I sent it for. For with joy you go out, and with peace you are brought in. The mountains and the hills break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field clap their hands. Look, you're going to see how this ties in to when I'm going to get to a word when it goes substance. It talks about people or things. So the earth knows its maker. Instead of the thorn, the cypress comes up. And instead of the needle, the myrtle comes up. And it shall be to Jehovah for a name, for an everlasting sign, which is not cut off. Amen. How many know this everlasting covenant, everlasting sign, it's so beautiful. We're going to get to it in just a little bit, because what are we talking about? You mentioned about life, everlasting life. We're going to get to our master. So let's go to our text. But it's just this passage of scripture is really beautiful. That's more I can say on it, but I didn't, you know, I was just led to go there to read it, but just point out that word adorn, how he needs to open our head. So we're going to see this here in the scripture. In Genesis 42, now I'm going to kind of set the scene. I'm going to read the first five verses. And when Yaakov saw that there was grain in Mitzrayim, Yaakov said to his sons, "Why do you look at each other?" And he said, "See, I have heard that there is grain in Mitzrayim. Go down to that place and buy for us there, and let us live and not die." And Yosef's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Mitzrayim. But Yaakov did not send Yosef's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Lest some harm come to him." And the sons of Yisrael went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the scarcity of food was in the land of Canaan. And the scarcity of food is famine. We know this. But what I want to focus on tonight is something that, to me, was mind-blowing. We learned about a word a couple weeks ago that had to do with live, haya. You'll remember that word. It had to deal with the stomach. Now, let's go through some definitions here, so bear with me. In verse 1 and 2, the word There was, and the word there is H 34:26. Yesh. Now don't get ahead of me, because I don't want y'all to mess me up. So y'all gotta stay with me. The word is yesh. Let's see what yesh is. Perhaps from an and this is where I got hung up the last time, what I was looking for. But apparently, tonight we're gonna get it. Perhaps from an unused root to stand out or exist, entity. I mean, you know, that's, he wants you to stand out, or he stands out. There's something that exists, there's an entity. Use that verbally or as a copier for a substantive verb, H1961. Don't push it yet. The word is there is, or any other form of the verb to be, as may suit the connection. So this copier is something that connects. It has to do with language, because there's a whole stuff to do, but I'm going to give you the short version. It's something that you want to be connected to, something that exists. There's an entity that you want, that your brain, when you open up, you want to connect to this entity. The best we know, that we say it all the time, is Jehovah. I'm going to just give you the answer. But let's see how it all connects, how it all fits. May suit the connection. There are, he, it, shall, there may, there shall, there should be. Interesting. Thou do, hat, has, which, hath, I, shall, that, have, he, it, there is, substance. We want that. It, there was, there were, ye will, thou wilt, wouldest. So all these are all connection, copier words. Something that we can connect. How do we connect to Yehovah? Is the Brown driver, the Briggs definition, beings, existence, substance, there is, or substance, existence. How do you know he's the self-existent one? Without him, none of us is here today. The ancient Hebrew, look at this, it exists. And it's got E-N-G, yes is. Now E-N-G, I had a little trouble with that, so I'm just going to call it energy. It might not be energy, because when you plug into him, you have energy. I'm not tired. I'm not sleepy. I'm only sleeping when I'm after my little time, just spending time with him, and after that I get a little relaxed. But when you plug into him, I ain't tired. Not at all. The word is exist. There is, look at it, keep on going down. There is something that exists. Is, be, can, have, and some of these little root words. Now, let's go back to 1961. Let me give you all the big hi-ya. Yeah, but y'all probably didn't even see that coming. I shared it with my brothers, but I don't know if they looked at it. This is hi-ya. No, stay with me now. A primitive root compared to 1933, don't go yet, to exist. That is, be or become, come to pass, always emphatic, and not a mere copier or auxiliary, beacon, X together, be, become, accomplished, committed, like, break, cause, come to pass, continue, do, faint. Let me know when you're dealing with these yah, every word that has a yah in it, it's going to be a big subject. These little X's on the screen that you see in the different, that means there's something there. There's a substance there. But I guess man couldn't figure out what's that substance. I don't know. So don't push the 1933 yet. You're going to spoil a surprise. Look at the Brown driver's big definition. Look at all the become. One of them caught my attention was the very kind of in the beginning. To be, become, come to pass, exist. Fall out. That don't sound good. To happen. Fall out. Fall. Remember that. So this, can you fall even though you're connected to the existing one? I believe you can. If we're not careful, if you don't let him work on your brain, remember, let him open your head. Let that seed come out. Look what it deals with when you go down. Breathe, breath. exists. How do you know without his breath, hi-ya, none of us exist today? Oh boy, maybe you're not getting it yet. Hold on. Notice the double hay right there. The pictograph hay represent one. There's two hay, but it represents one who is looking at a great sight with his hands raised, taking a long breath. Hi-ya. When we come here tomorrow, that should be some hi-ya-ing going on. Because he's the one that gives us breath. Look, there's people that lost their breath this week. They're not here. You're here. It's still life because his breath can, it's not connected. This hi-ya is not connected to the stomach. It's connected to his ruach when you go look it up. We need his ruach.
That's right.
Taking a long breath. The picture, yeah, he represents one who's looking at a great sight. He's repeating himself because it's a double hay. Now, I thought, I've looked at this double hay, and the only thing that I can come up with, why is it double? Because I think about Adam in the garden. Suppose this double here, that's your spouse alongside of you. That they're together because two become how many? One. And what? And when we come here, when your spouse is with you, if the man or the husband, the wife is doing, your counterpart should be doing the same thing. We should be praising together. That's. I don't know another reason why it's double. But I thought that to me that was beautiful. That you got two hay. Could that be your counterpart? Now for those that don't have a counterpart, he's your counterpart. Regardless, he's there. This ministered to me so much for the past couple of weeks because I've been having this bottle up. And then we talked to Sister Justine the other night, and boy, I just almost want to explode. Well, look at woe, taking a heavy breath. Wow, just the DNA you're sucking in. You're sucking in his air because after all, this don't belong to you and I. It belongs to him. And I'm going to show you that. So what is a copy of? Before I go too far. A copy is a verse, is a verb or a phrase that links a sentence subject to its complement. We should be complimenting him. How great and how wonderful he is. We're going to get to some scripture that's complimenting him big time. What about emphatic? Emphatic means something that is expressed with force and clarity, or that is strong and without a doubt. I know that without a doubt, without this breath in me tonight, there's no way I can be trying to attempt to explain who Yehovah is. Yeah. That's why he wrote a book about himself. That's why half of the world is losing their mind because they think you don't need the front of the book. Well, how are we going to know who he is? How are we going to know who if we got the right Messiah without looking at this? Boy, all these root words. Now, every time we're going to follow a root word, the ancient Hebrew is going to say the same thing, except one at a spot. It's going to say a little something a little different, and we're going to get to it. But every one you link to, every little number you push, is going to bring you back to the word Hayya. Hayya. Let's look at 1933. What is connected compared to? Hava. Go figure that. A primitive root compared to 183, 1961, which we just had, to breathe, exists. See, when you go to ancient Hebrew, it's the same thing. Because he doesn't change. I was wondering why I'm getting all the same. Because he said, my word don't change. I don't change. My word don't change. That's why you get the same definition. Let's look at that H183. Ava. Notice how he's all over in here. And just in these couple of verses. Boy, this is, I tell you. Now, this is a really good one because it's primitive root to wish for, covet, greatly desire, be desirous, long, lust after. Now, don't think of that in the negative. Think of this in the positive. Because what was the one thing besides Yehovah that Joseph, being in the Mitzrayim, even though he got a wife and got two kids, what's the one thing you think he lusted for and he would love to see? His daddy. That should be our message today. Don't we long? There come a time in our life that we're going to long to see our brother and our daddy, our king. And this went off like fireworks when I read this. Yosef, don't you think he desired to see his family? After over 20 plus years, he don't even know his daddy's still alive. But he knew later on he's gonna. What a time when we watched the movie. That made us weep just to see that little part. And if the movie does that, can you imagine reacting when you're gonna see your father for the very first time? The one who created the world, who spoke into existence? All what we've been standing here preaching and saying, all what you've been standing for, being as a light to the world. Can you imagine that day when you stand before him? Hiya, what can we say? What are you going to say? It's like, it reminds me of the song I mentioned, it to, I think, to Brother Chad. It's like, I can only imagine. I won't be able to speak at all. Because what we've been waiting for all these years. To long, to be desired. That should be our desire. Top on the list. To long, to lust after. Desire, incline, covet, wait longly, wish, sigh, be greedy. That's the positive. I know we think this word and we think English because it seems negative, but that's positive. This is a little different definition. This is the one I was talking about. It means sigh or wear. The picture graph is the olive and the hay. And look at this great sigh. Combined the two means strong sigh. A strong sigh when you come in here. When we come to give him praise and give him thanks. It's not just, I had a good week and I'm kind of tired. But that should be our desire to give him thanks. With all that's within us. Scripture says, and bless his name. And then what are we coming here for? For the entertainment? Don't make me say it. I know that's one of my go-to verses. Don't make me say it. Look at his sigh. The howling of one screeching. The sighing of one exclamation out of desire. Screaming out of pain. At last. Look at H162. If you put it, the word is aha. Finally, at last. Belong. Sigh, desire. Even a hawk in there. Have you ever heard these birds with light screeching sound? They howl real loud. He's screeching because why? For the screech of a lot that's searching for food. You got to be more to that. Can you imagine the hooping and howling was going on in Yosef's time? We hungry. They hollering, screeching because the famine is so bad. What's going to happen when we can't? When there's no more word? Imagine that. Don't think natural. Think spiritual when we up here teaching this, talking about it. That's what our minds have to be. That's why he wants to open up our head. If you go back one, the word woe, the word is ha. At last, interjection. It has to do with breathe and breath. The H162, aha. All these ha and aha. And every time you punch every one of them, it goes back to the self-existent one. So this was all so beautiful. When you sit there and you look at all of this, spend time. That's what it's designed for. To make you sit down, slow down, spend time. Because look, that's like I told the brother, we should always be prepared because that's the message is in itself. It's already laid out. We just got to just go there and put it together. You know? So let's look at some. Let's look at some praise toward our where it's designed, what we're designed to do. Let's look at Psalms. Before I go any further, before I go to Psalms, let's go to Ecclesiastes. I'm going to try to get as far as I can tonight because, man, that's quite a few verses to read. Because we're dealing with Yehovah. This is very big. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil day comes, it's already here. Before the evil day comes, it's already here. We should be remembering him. I want him to open my head and trust me. Whatever he has for me, I need it because the evil day is here. The years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. That's wrong thinking. That's why it's having to deal with this. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the guards of the house tremble and a strong man shall bow down, when the grinders shall cease because they are few and those that look through the windows shall become dim, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, and one raises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are bowed down. Furthermore, they are afraid of what is high and of low places in the way. And the almond tree blossom and the grasshopper becomes a burden. When I read that, I thought that was kind of funny. Grasshopper becomes a burden. And desires perish. Look, we're going to go through stuff. Things are going to happen. But our desires need to be focused. Our focus needs to be on Him. This is not a time to get shallow or weak or slacken. Because things are going to happen around us. For man is going to his everlasting home. Now that's in the negative right there. But we know we have a Savior. That's why we needed a Savior. And this is why we mentioned about life and death. And we're going to see more of that. I told one of my fellow brothers today, I said, man, we got to be ready. Even though death comes to us all, we got to be ready. You can be prepared. For man is going to his everlasting home. And the mourners shall go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is loosened, or the golden bowl is broken, or the jar is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Things are going to happen in our daily living for him. We don't give up. You hang in there. He's bigger than all our problems. Now, trust me. That's why he has to open our head. We have to let him open our head. We get through all these things. Because these things are just random things that happen. Tragedies happen. Look. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to Elohim who gave it. See, it's not our breath. We're borrowing his breath. We're borrowing his DNA. He's lending it to us, but he's going to get it back. But can you imagine a day that even though you're in the dust, we talked about, that spirit is going to revive when the master comes. Amen. Boy, what a hope. That's that everlasting covenant. We have hope. We have hope. Futility, said Kohelet. All is futile. And besides being wise, Kohelet also taught the people knowledge. And he listened and sought in order many proverbs. Kohelet sought to find out words of delight and words of truth, rightly written. Oh boy, the words of the wise are like gourds and nails driven by the master of collection. They were given by one shepherd. I mean, you know, when he was teaching, well, he taught them wise counsel, wise word. He taught them the truth, the word of truth. And this is what we're doing today. We're learning the word of truth. Because without truth, we can all be in error. We need his truth. We know that. Besides these, my son, be warned. The making of many books has no end, and much studying is wearing of the flesh. Not this book. I'm energized. My wife said, "Big Dick, you're going to be sweating." I know. She said, "I don't know how you do it." She said, "You come home, just enough time to take a shower. You eating?" "No, I'll eat later. I'll worry about something later. I don't have time. I got to get over here." He said, "I couldn't do it under." I said, "It's just under pressure. How do you handle it under pressure?" This is what he wants to check you. Because sometimes you're going to be put in a spot under pressure. Your reaction, what comes out. Yeah. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter." I mean, you know, Listen. "Fear Elohim and guard his commands, for this applies to all mankind. For Elohim shall bring every work into right ruling, including all that is hidden, whether good or whether evil." He sees it all. There's nothing hid from his eye. Now let's go learn more about that. That was just kind of a little scratch right there. Let's go to Psalms now. Let's see these wonderful acts. Psalms 33. Maybe. Shout for joy. Look at that. Verse 1. "In Yehovah, you righteous, praise is fitting for the straight." What are we talking about? Hiya. He deserved the praise. "Praise him with the lyre." Praise Yehovah with lyre. "Sing to him with an instrument of 10 strings." It's amazing. that 10 brothers go down to Egypt. And he says, praise him with an instrument of 10 string. Sing to him a new song. Play sweetly with a shout of joy. For the word of Yehovah is straight, and all his works are in truth. Loving righteousness and right ruling, the earth is filled with the loving commitment of Yehovah. Amen. By the word of Yehovah, the heavens were made, and all the hosts by the spirit of his mouth, gathering the waters of the sea together as a heap, laying up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yehovah, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now look at that word awe. 1481, the word is gore. In ancient Hebrew, it's sojourn, a traveler, fear. It's the laman and the resh. It's the picture combining a walking man. One traveling to a foreign land is a stranger to the people and culture. Fear is associated with strangers and seen as an enemy. The root also has an idea of laying out flat to sleep, though the idea of spending the night. Growl, a sound from a throat groan. Let me tell you, the throat, what caught me when I was looking at the definition, and you scroll down, you said the throat is where you fear. You say you're feeling in your throat. That's how bad we ought to fear our master. We ought to fear our creator. Because sometimes you can't take a breath. Because when this is what he's talking about. So this is just a little, I didn't spend time with it. I just thought that word right there was very, very good. We stand in awe of him. You know, like I said, you can't speak, you can't swallow, and you feel it. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood fast. Yehovah brings the counsel of the nations to naught. He thwarts the plans of the people. Now he thwarts the plan of the people. I'm gonna give you my little, I know it kind of, when you read the definition, he talks about devising, he kind of manipulate, not saying manipulate the mind, but I'm gonna say what easiest short definition. He throws a monkey wrench in their plans. Mm-hmm. And guess who's the monkey? Sometimes he'll do that. Not to hurt you, to test you. To see where you're at. And he does not only does it to the righteous, he does it to the wicked. Because we're going to see in a little bit, you're going to see where the monkey wrench is at. Yehovah, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood fast. Yehovah brings the counsel of the nations to naught. He thwarts the plans of the peoples. The counsel of Yehovah stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yehovah. The people who he has chosen as his own inheritance. I'm so glad he's chosen us tonight. Yehovah has looked from the heavens. He has seen all the sons of men. He looked from his dwelling place on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashioned the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. Can you see where this is going? How wonderful he is. He's dealing with a big God. The sovereign is not saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain means of safety, neither does it rescue by its great power. And it's a strong animal, but it's no match. See, the eyes of Yehovah are on those fearing him and on those waiting for his loving commitment. Verse 19, this is the one. To deliver their being from death and to keep them alive during scarcity of food. So where are we at? We're in the scarcity of food in the land. Back in Mitzrayim. He says he's going to rescue our beings. So when the hard times come, remember this verse. He's going to save your being from death. I know verse 2 talks about life and death, but that's life. Notice that. Our being has longed for Yehovah, desire for him. Our help and our shield is he. For our heart does rejoice in him. For we have put our trust in his set-apart name. And you know his name is set-apart. Let your loving commitment, O Yehovah, be upon us, even as we wait for you. We have to be patient. So like I said, this is not a marathon, not a sprint, it's a marathon. There we go, I got it right. Psalms 37. You got, look, when you get time, go read chapter 34. But chapter 37. Now, we got all our Hebrew letters in here. And the Aleph says, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of unrighteousness. For they soon wither like grass and fade like green plants. Bait is trust in Yehovah and do good. Dwell in the earth and feed on steadfastness. We need steadfastness. And delight yourself in Yehovah and let him give you the desires of your heart. One of our desires of our heart is to be to see him face to face one day. That should be your desire. And not only him, you know, and Yeshua, our loved ones. We got many loved ones. He loves family. The gimel, commit your way to Yehovah and trust in him, and he does it. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your right ruling as midday. Verse 7, Dalet, rest in Yehovah and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way because of the man doing wicked devices. There's going to be some things going on in the world. Look, we know it ain't right. We don't fret because of that. I pay attention. And we should pay attention to what's happening. But we shouldn't fret. He tells us not to. abstain from displeasure and forsake wrath. Do not fret also to do evil. That's why we need our head open. Because some of this thing can creep in us and it kind of gets you off track. For evildoers are cut off. But those who wait on Yehovah, they shall inherit the earth. Beautiful right there. Because this is this everlasting covenant. He's been promised from a long time ago. And watch it, watch. We ain't done yet. Yet a little while, and the wrong is no more. And you shall look on his place, but it is not. But the meek ones shall inherit the earth. I wonder where Yeshua got his information when he's talking about this in the Beatitudes. And delight themselves in plenty of peace. There's plenty of peace out there that we should be delighting ourselves in. Zion, the wrong plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. Here's your monkey wrench. Yehovah laughs at him. There's your monkey wrench. For he sees that his day is coming. He even see he threw a wrench in chapter 34, and we in 37. He didn't see the monkey wrench. Boy, I thought that was so good. the wrong, verse 14, have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cause the poor and needy to fall. Remember that word fall. To slay those who walk straightly. I mean, you know, that's you and I. The sword does not enter into their own heart, and their bows are broken. Tet. Better is the little of the righteous one than the riches of many wrongdoers. So there's two sides here. We have to tell what side do we want to be on. There's no what's the song, Hokey Pokey? One leg in, one leg out. You either in or you out. There's no hokey pokey going on here. Look at verse 17. The arms of the wrongdoers are broken, but Jehovah sustains the righteous. He's going to sustain you in time. I know sometimes it looks bad, but when it looks bad, that's when you got to dig down deep and put our trust in him, because it's going to be better. Oh boy. Verse 18, the Yud, Yehovah knows the days of the perfect. and inheritance, and their inheritance is forever. What's forever? The earth. It belongs to you. You're the perfect tonight. You say, well, I don't feel perfect. Doesn't matter how you feel. He says you're perfect. They are not ashamed in a time of evil. Are we in that time? He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And in the days of scarcity of food, they are satisfied. Boy, look at these tie-ins. Scarcity of food is mentioned over here, all, and we're in Psalms. The calf, but the wrongdoers shall perish, and the enemies of Jehovah, like the splendor of metal, they vanish, like smoke, they vanish away. The lamed, the wrongdoer is boring and does not repay, but the righteous one shows favor and gives. I heard a little story the other night. He gives. Someone gave when y'all saw the man in town. And I read this story. I said, boy, look at Brother Rob right here. The righteous shows favor and gives. This is because this is who we do. That's what we do. You're supposed to do. For he blesses ones, for his blessed ones inherit the earth. He keeps telling us, reminded over and over, you're going to inherit the earth. But those cursed by him are cut off. The mem, verse 23, the steps of a man are ordered by Jehovah, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he's not cast down. Because you're going to have, there's going to be some trying weeks, some trying days. You're going to seem like you stumble. Well, maybe I'm not talking to you tonight. And though he falls, he's not cast down, for Jehovah is supporting his hand. He's with you. Even when you're gonna stumble. It happens because we're human. But he's supporting us. He's supporting his hand. One of my favorite verses right here, verse 25. Noon, I have been young and now I'm old. I'm not really that old, but I'm gonna go with what it says. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Now there's some folks in here that's older than I am. You know, I'm sure they can tell you about hard times, tough times. But I know when I was growing up, let me tell you something. I was poor. We grew up poor. Didn't grow up in luxury. Yeah, that wasn't even a toilet in my house where I was living. But I tell you what, I never went to bed hungry. No matter if it was just fried rice and oil and a little bit of salt and black pepper. We had food on the table. There was food for supper. There was fried rice in the morning. We ate rice. My goodness. Well, you didn't go to bed hungry. I don't know what it is to go to bed hungry. Hallelujah. You know, because why? Because of that verse right there. But look, did we grow up poor? You got that right. Not only you didn't have a towel, you didn't even have a bathtub in the house. You had a number 3 tub. And a little foot tub, a little basin. I remember we having that growing up. So I know about being younger. And now I'm a little bit older. But somebody elder here, they can tell you. He probably had a little bit worse than that. So this verse is for y'all tonight. Or his seed begging bread. We put our trust in him. All day long, he is showing favor and lending. And his seed is for a blessing. The psalmist says, turn from evil and do good and dwell forever. Everlasting covenant. For Jehovah loves right ruling. Oh, we got to get that down pat. We got to work on our right ruling. And does not forsake his loving committed ones. Like I said, there's going to be times you might feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. Encourage your own self. They shall be guarded forever, but the seed of the wrongdoers is cut off. Now these wrongdoers, I think about these wrongdoers. And our love is toward them. I don't want to think that we're casting these wrongdoers aside, because there's some wrongdoers out there. Some of our wrongdoers are some of our families. They're our children. They're our brothers. They're our sisters. They're our mom. They're our dad. So this really hurts when I read these verses of scripture, but you have to read them because it's in there. Because Jehovah is telling us wrongdoers are going to be no more. I can't get around that. I don't know how the best to explain it, so I'm just going to read it to you off the pages. This is what he said. They're cut off. The righteous, verse 29, shall inherit the earth. Boy. And dwell in it forever. He's constantly repeating himself, letting you know. Be a righteous one. Turn from evil. Shuv. That word turn is shuv. Pay. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. That's what I'm doing here tonight. And his tongue talks of right ruling. Verse 31. The Torah of Elohim is in his heart. His steps do not slide. When he's holding your hand, there's no sliding. Zadi, the wrong one is watching for the righteous and seeking to slay him. And that is so true. That's why he needs to open us up and work on that, because the brain tells your mouth what to say. So we need that surgeon to get in there. Yehovah does not leave him in his hand or let him be declared wrong when he is judged. The Kuf says, wait on Yehovah and guard his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the earth. Wow. When the wrongdoers are cut off, you shall see it. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. How many times we've heard that? And it's troublesome time is ahead. But this is always preparing us for when they get here. The Resh, I have seen the wrongdoer in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passes away, and see, he was not. And I sought him, but he was not found. Shin, watch the perfect. That's you and I. He's telling us again, you're perfect. Maybe you might not see me as perfect, but if I'm in his will, I'm doing what he wants me to do, I'm perfect in his eyes. It don't matter what you think. No matter what man thinks, it's what Yehovah says about you. He says you're perfect. So you know what I'm going to call you? Perfect. And observe the straight. Not only you're perfect, you're straight. That's another repeat, another double, because he said that earlier. We read that a little while ago. For the latter end of each is peace. In the latter end, we want peace. Oh boy, we need it. But transgressors shall be destroyed together. The latter end of the wrong shall be cut off. The Tav says, but the deliverance of the righteous is from Yehovah. Their strength in time of distress. Look, when you're feeling weak, he's your strength. And Yehovah does help them and deliver them. He delivers them from the wrongdoers and saves them because they took refuge in him. We have to take refuge in him. These verses was just so beautiful. And I think about Yosef, what was happening in his life, about to encounter with his brothers. Man, he needed all this. He needed Yehovah. All right, we'll keep going. Psalms 150. Praise Yah. Wow, what a command. Praise El in his set apart place. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Don't think set apart place. Don't think this building. This can be when you're outside at your house. Because why? It's his mighty expanse. The earth is his, the scripture says. This is all his house. So you can praise him at your house. Definitely tomorrow when we come here. But on the job. On the airboat. I mean, I've been reading all week. I've been on the airboat. What do you think? I didn't leave my tools at home. I got to study on the airboat. You know, wherever you are, going to town, riding, going to town. Put some conversation with the wife, or put something on. That's time. It's not that we don't have any time. It's praise Yah in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty acts. When you don't know what to praise, praise him for his mighty acts. Because what? You still have breath in us. You know, Papa Zappa just said a little while ago, I said, how you doing, Papa? I'm still breathing. You got that right. Amen. You still breathing. Praise him. Yes. According to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the blowing of a shofar. Praise him with harp and lyre. What was the way my brother got that, getting that shofar? Down pat. Sounds better and more better every time I hear it. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Now this is where we got a problem. Oh boy, oh boy. Click on the word dance. Because the problem is, the word is Makol. It's from H 2342, around dance or dancing. Can you praise Jehovah in a dance? Yes, you can. It tells us how. The problem is we've been dancing with the wrong partner for too long. We don't know how to dance. When we're in the world taught us how to dance. Go to the ancient Hebrew before I get ahead of myself. Look what the ancient Hebrew says. Praise him where? In the dance where? In the bar. Oh, beautiful. Huh? Praise him again, in the hole, even if you're in pain. Look at the words in the ancient Hebrew. How do you know we love? We got aching back. We got aching leg. You still give him praise. Boy. It talks about the bow drill. How when you drill a hole in that spot right there. Because it wants you to know that you can praise Jehovah in the dance. Now, I hadn't learned yet. I hadn't been practicing. This is just brand new to me. So I got to work on my two steps. But we're working on it. I got to practice in my yard like I do my singing in the shower and all. Because we know dancing in here, ain't nobody want to dance. Get up here and dance. But he tells us, it's in a circle motion. You praise Jehovah in the dance. How we know that? Because David did it. Scripture talks about it. Scripture talks about in the book of Acts that when Peter and John, it's in my notes, I don't know if we're going to get to it. When Peter and John went to the temple to pray and the man's laying there for alms, he said, look, it's not in me. I don't have, but what I have, rise up and walk. And the scripture says, not Scott says, the scripture says, they were walking and leaping and praising Jehovah. You don't think he wasn't in the bore? You don't think he wasn't in the hole? He wasn't in pain? Oh, this is so beautiful. But we learned too much from the world. We learned the butt bouncing and the air gyrating. And we learned the couch grabbing. The only thing I learned the other night was turn the TV off, turn the TV off. That's the only thing I asked my wife. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. Turn the TV off. I made it funny. I told my cousin in California, I turned my TV off. But that's what the world teaches you. And we know that for a fact. Because we know countless men in Israel, and I say countless, it gives us numbers, that men have died for the wrong kind of dancing. Oh boy. That's the problem. You know why? Because it's common. Look at your definition. A place or a person or thing that is not set apart for specific function. It's profane. It's common. It's unholy. Y'all just don't know how this I've been having this bottle up. Look, that's why we need our head open. Because that's why we don't dance. I could tell you, because we don't know how. Wrong partner for too many years. He's trying to teach us. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that have what? Breath. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. That's more, I tell you what. This has been so good to me. We owe him. He don't owe us. We owe him. We breathe in his air. Can you imagine every time you take a breath, you inhale and exhale, that's DNA. You're becoming little messiahs and little Jehovah's when you breathe in his DNA. Oh, boy. All right, where we got to go next? Oh, we still got a little time. Oh, we got to go to our master. That's the end of Psalms. Let's go to our master. In John chapter 17. That dance, if you want to go look at it, it's in 2 Samuel 6. You see David. And also in Acts chapter 3. I'm going to try to get to that one if I can, but because it is so beautiful. Maybe we can talk about it later. But we were talking about prayer the other night. And then when the pastor went to Matthew, I was like, oh, boss, I hope he didn't go to John. He's going to spoil my notes. But listen to how Yeshua prayed for his brothers. And I thought this was so beautiful, too, because this led me to hear, you know, because what is Joseph? You don't think Joseph prayed for his brothers? He loved his brothers. He loved his father. His desire was to see his family. So it brought me to this passage of scripture in John chapter 17. Yeshua said these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Now, if we're not a student of the word, how do you get this? We're trying to make him somebody that he's not. We talk about it all the time. He's not his own father. And that's, I'm so glad he covers that right here, because I don't know how religions get this twisted up. Said, Father, the hour has come. Esteem your son, so that your son also might esteem you. And you know, that's we have to give praise and honor and glory to the one most high, but then we're not leaving him out either, our soon coming king. As you have given him authority over all flesh, and we see that Yosef has authority at this point of his life over all flesh that comes into Mitzrayim, that he should give everlasting life, wow, to all whom you have given him. I'm so thankful. I know right now this is a different time, but this word is for us today. He's given us everlasting life. And this is everlasting life. He tells us what it is. That they should know you, the only true Elohim. How do you know there's only one true Elohim? That's not two or three, that's one. And Yeshua Messiah, whom you have sent. I'm not trying to make him nothing else. But we need this everlasting life. Because this is where it comes from. No, nobody had to create Yehovah. He always was. And I have esteemed you on the earth, having accomplished the work you have given me that I should do. And now esteem me with yourself, Father, with the esteem which I had with you before the world was. Key verse coming up here, verse 6. And I have revealed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have guarded your word. And what are we doing today? We're guarding that same word that was given to the men that Yeshua was talking about here, about his disciples, about his brothers. And that same word applies to you and I today. We guard his word, and he has given us his name. What do we call him? Yehovah. That's what it says. Praise Yehovah. Now, verse 7, they have come to know that all you give to me is from you. Because the words which you gave to me, I have given to them. How many know he gave us his word? And they have received them and have truly known that I came forth from you and that they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Now, like I said, this is why we take our time. Because we take Yeshua's words right here and say, well, he's praying for them. He's not praying for the world. Is he being unrighteous? No. But right now, how do you know that he's about the end of his life right here? So this prayer is designed for his followers. I know right there that's his supporting staff at the time, his entourage that's with him, but this is for us today. We're his followers today. Amen. And this word that he's praying over us, let this prayer be over you too. Because why? Because all mine, he's going to explain to us why he says this. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been esteemed in them. We come here to esteem him. Not because I just want to come see everybody, which I do like coming to see everybody. But my main focus, my desire is him and him alone. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been esteemed in them. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, set apart Father, Guard them in your name, which you have given me, so that they might be one as we are. Amen. We're going to be just like him. There's going to come a time when this mortal is going to have to take on immortality. This is what it's boiling down to. And that, I believe that time is getting closer. And we don't have time to waste. Because right here he says, I'm no more in the world. Really, he's in the world still. But this prayer, because he's about to leave, is so important. When I was with them in the world, I was guarding them in your name, which you have given me. And I watched over them. And not one of them perished except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be filled. And now I come to you, and I speak these words in the world, so that they have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world as I am not of the world. Now we felt some of that pressure already. Because not everybody's agreeing what we're saying. But the problem is, we're saying what he's saying. But he said, they're going to hate you because of my name. So this ain't no shocker to us, to those his followers. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the wicked one. I mean, okay, the evil day. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Set them apart in your truth. Your word is truth. That's why I had to start with Yehovah, because his word is true. He is who he says he is. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for them, I set myself apart so that they too might be set apart in truth. And there's a condition right there. You can be set apart, but we want to be set apart in truth. This is what we stand upon. Remember we heard a long time ago? You can't handle the truth. I remember someone saying that. Y'all remember that, huh? Now, we just read a little while ago, he said, I don't pray for the world. So let's see how, in English, if we're not careful, we'll twist his words to our destruction. And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those believing in me through their word. He's praying for the metal ones. Don't think he's not praying for those outside. But there's an order, there's a structure we have to go around, because he's about to be slain for you and I. Death is coming to him, but so is life. Right here, through their word, through the word of the apostles, through the word of the disciples. That's what he's talking about, through their word. So that they all might be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, so that they too might be one in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. We're going to be little Messiah and little Yehovah's right there, because he's in us and we in him. But can you fall? Be careful. We have to make sure we stay within the boundaries of him, because he set guidelines for us. There's rules for us. And the esteem which you gave me, I have given them, so that they might be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they might be perfected into one, so that the world knows that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me, perfected into one. I told you, you're perfect. Father, verse 24, I desire, he had a desire? Yeah. That those whom you have given me might be with me where I am, so that they see my esteem which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Boy, is he honoring his father or what? O righteous Father, indeed the world did not know you, but I knew you, and these knew that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and shall make it known, so that the love with which you love me might be in them, and I in them. What a prayer that he prayed for his brothers, for his followers, for you and I. And it just made me think of the time of Yosef when he seen his brothers. The scripture said he remembered the dreams. He remembered when they came and they prostrated themselves before him. And look, he puts this little ruse, this little show going on because he's testing them. He's throwing a monkey wrench in their plan. They couldn't see it, but he knew what was going on. Yehovah knew what was going on. And it was just so beautiful played out, you know, in the life of Yosef, how we need this. Oh, boy. I think that's a good place to stop. I would love to read y'all the Acts 3 account. And especially when you get on down after he has this miraculous miracle. In Acts 3:13, I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to go 3:11. I'm going to do a couple more verses. In Acts 3:11, and as the lame man who was here was clinging to Kepha and Yohanan. Can you imagine? After being healed. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Shlomo's, greatly amazed. And seeing it, Kepha responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you look and marvel at this? It's not in me." It brings me back to that. "Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or reverence we've made him walk? It's not in me." That's what Yosef said. "It's not in me." And it's Kepha saying the same thing right here. "But it's what I have." He said, "The Elohim," he's letting them know, "the Elohim of Abraham and of Yitzhak and of Yaakov, the Elohim of our father, esteemed his servant Yeshua, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the set apart and righteous one and asked that a man, a murderer, be granted to you. But you killed the Prince of Life." Wow. Why didn't it say king there? Because he's not the king, he's the Prince of Life. Because there's one true Elohim. He told us that. So when people try to make him saying he's somebody else, well, I don't know how you explain these verses to me. "Whom Elohim raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And by the belief in his name, this one whom you see and know, his name made strong, and the belief which comes through him has given him the perfect healing before all of you. And now, brothers, I know that you did it in ignorance, as your rulers did too, but this is how Elohim has filled what he has announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, and that his Messiah was to suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn back for the blotting out of your sins, in order that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Master, and that he sends Yeshua Messiah pre-appointed for you." And that, and it just goes on. I'm out of time, but I'm saying, but this passage is very beautiful. It has so much volume in it. But anyway, I hope I entertain you tonight. Go back and look at Hayah, the reason why you have breath and why we're here. And man, look, I've been holding on to this and I couldn't wait to get it out. And thank y'all for being so attentive to the word. Remember, it's not in me. It's not in me at all. It's what he gives at a time that he knows we need. Amen? Yeah. All right. Well.